سورة المباركة الفاتحة. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. صلى الله عليك يا رسول الله، صلى الله عليك وعلى أهل بيتك المعصومين. ما خاب من تمسك بكم وأمن من لجأ إليكم. يا ليتنا كنا معكم سادتي فنفوز فوزا عظيما. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. Respected scholars, brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Islam urges us to seek knowledge. Intellect is a subject matter of the Holy Quran, the ahadith of Rasulullah. And when you look at the Holy Quran, you come across many verses where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, Afala yatadabbarun al-Quran, Afala ya'qilun, Afala yufakkirun, Afala yandhurun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks a question. Don't they think? Don't they reflect? Don't they ponder? Don't they understand? Here the emphasis is for us as Muslims to use our intellect. And it's because of this, you see that in the books of ahadith, for example, Kitab al-Kafi, the first chapter in the book discusses about Kitab al-Ilmi wal-Jahl, the chapter of knowledge and the chapter of ignorance. Why? Because the emphasis is given to the issue of seeking knowledge and for us to be among the people of intellect. Jahal is the opposite of that, ignorance. Quran, Ahadith, Islam wants us not to be among the Jahilin, the people of ignorance. And it is because of this you may see that in the ahadith Rasulullah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad, would want us to go even up to China to seek knowledge. Why? Because with knowledge we can succeed in this world as well as in the hereafter. One companion one time went to see Rasulullah and he said, Ya Rasulullah, tell me, if I want to get the khair of this world, I want to get the goodness of this world, the Holy Prophet said, seek knowledge. Alayka bil ilm. He said, thank you. What about if I want to find the khair of akhirah? The Holy Prophet said, seek knowledge. And he said, what if I want khair ad-dunya wal akhirah? The Holy Prophet said, seek knowledge. So for every dunya is knowledge, akhirah is knowledge. But I don't know what happened within our communities, societies, our ummah. Today knowledge is not the way Rasulullah wanted it to be. First of all, we have divided knowledge into two. Ilmu dunya wa ilmu akhirah. There is that knowledge which is known as ilmu dunya, the knowledge of this world. And ilmu akhirah, the knowledge of akhirah. Where did we get this from? There's no such a thing in the Holy Quran, ilmu dunya, ilmu al-akhirah. There's no such a thing in the ahadith of Rasulullah. We know that there is one thing and that is ilm, knowledge. If we don't go before knowledge, if we don't seek knowledge, then we will be the people of ignorance. The people of ignorance are worse than animals because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran says, Ulaika kal an'am bal hum adhal. Those people of ignorance will be worse than animals. But they will be more worse than animals. Why? Because animals do not have intellect. They have desires. You and me, we have intellect. And we have desires. If we use our intellects properly, we will be better than angels. Because angels did sajida to Adam, salamullahi alayhi. And we will be better than them because of knowledge. This knowledge will make us to be ashraful makhlukat. Tonight we want to discuss about that person who was the symbol of ignorance. He grew up in that society where people were calling him the father of hikmah. But Rasulullah came to say, no, he is not the father of hikmah. He is the father of ignorance. We want to know who this man was. Not only that, what does the Holy Quran say about this particular individual who is known as the pillar of ignorance? How did he challenge Rasulullah and how did Rasulullah engage him? And of course, we want to know how was his end in this world. And the final question which we want to ask ourselves is, if the Ummah would keep the knowledge aside, what will happen to the Ummah? So inshallah, we will discuss these points in this majlis. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the beginning to include us to be among the ulama, inshallah. Those people who use their intellect in order for them to be closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we ask him bihaqi Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. You have heard the name Abu Jahl. Abu Jahl. In Arabic language, the name Abu means father. Jahl means ignorance. Father of ignorance, that was his title. He was born as Amru ibn Hisham. His name was Amru ibn Hisham. But today when we ask many people, many Muslims, do you know anything about Amru ibn Hisham? Well, they will say, we don't know anything. Do you know something about Abu Jahl? They say, yes, we know about Abu Jahl. And see, this is the outcome when someone fights against Rasulullah. And if Rasulullah would give that particular individual a title, that title will fit him properly and will never leave him even for a second. Amru bin Hisham, his father Hisham, was a person of nobility in Makkah. He was one of those Quraysh people used to look at them as the people of intellect in that society of Makkah. Amru ibn Hisham grew up in that particular environment and the family was a rich family, so he was taken care of very well. He was educated in a nice way until he became one of the people, whenever people wanted to seek advice, they used to go to him. He was titled as Abul Hakam. Abu, father. Hakam of Hikmah. He was known as the father of Hikmah, the father of wisdom. Because any issue, small and big, you go to Abu al-Hakam, Amru ibn Hisham, he will give you the answer to that particular problem. But he grew up until when Rasulullah started preaching in that, what you call it, da'wah open, tabligh, open tabligh, where people now started to come into Islam. Amru ibn Hisham started to think, how can I allow this particular individual, because they grew up together in the same environment, I know him, how can I allow him to lead in that community? So he started to become an enemy of Rasulullah, an open enemy. Our scholars, according to history, they say there were two key issues why Abu Jahl decided to fight against Rasulullah. Number one, it's because of the issue of clan. Abu Jahl, his clan was from Bani Makhzum. Rasulullah from Bani Hashim, Abdi Manaf. Now, Abu Jahl, his enmity took him to the level of thinking, how can Allah send a messenger to Makkah to the people of Makkah, choose one of us to be Rasulullah. Why can that person be from our clan, Bani Makhzum? How can he come from the clan of Bani Abd Manaf? And this caused him hatred. He hated Rasulullah just because of that. So for this reason, he started becoming an open enemy against whatever the Holy Prophet said. Number two, it was because of why not I? Why him? Muhammad, I know him. We grew up together. What made him to be special for him to become a messenger of Allah? So he challenged him. And even number three, some scholars say it was because of the issue of nobility. Why our gods, Lata, Uzza, Manata, Hubal, all those gods which Quraysh used to worship, he said, how can we leave our gods alone and worship one god? Many gods are more important than one. How can we leave many? We have been taking care of them and follow this Ahad. Ahad. It doesn't make sense. So he decided to challenge Rasulullah. Now Abu Jahl, he started targeting those Muslims who are weak. Rasulullah is doing tabligh, is calling people towards Islam. Abu Jahl is targeting only those who are weak among the companions of Rasulullah. Among the famous people he targeted was the family of Yasir. I'm sure you have heard that the family of Yasir was Yasir the father, Ammar the son, Ammar bin Yasir. Yasir the father was targeted. His mother, Ammar's mother, Sumayya. So the family of three, Ammar, Yasir, and Sumayya were targeted by Abu Jahl. And he said, how can you become Muslims? He tortured them to the level that they couldn't even continue to live in this world because of the persecution they endured under the hands of Abu Jahl. The father died. The mother would not tolerate to see or to hear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being abused by Abu Jahl. And this mother decided to spit on the face of Abu Jahl. As we know, he took that arrow and he decided, or the spear, and he decided to attack the woman, Sumayya. If you watch, for example, the film, The Message, you can see clearly what Abu Jahl did to Sumayya. And the Holy Prophet used to pass near them. While Ammar is being persecuted, tortured, Rasulullah would say, Sabran ala Yasir. Inna maw'idakumul jannah. Be patient, O family of Yasir, because for sure your final destination will be Jannah. This was the first family to become shaheed in Islam. The first woman as a shahida was Sumayya, and of course the husband Yasir. But Ammar was saved because he used taqiyah, and he went to Rasulullah. The Holy Prophet said, what did you do in order for you to be freed? He said, I said something which is against Allah's qualities. But I said, I paid a lip service only. In my heart, iman is still settled. The Holy Prophet said, فَإِنْ عَادُوا فَعُودْ. If they come back to you, O Ammar, to torture you again, and they force you to say the words which are negative towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, repeat, say the words again. Ammar was saved until he lived and he fought against the enemies who fought and killed the family. Now, this Abu Jahl used to target these kind of companions. Not only that, why he became so open enemy, it's because he wanted to make sure Rasulullah would not get success in his tabligh mission. One day he told the Quraysh, and this was in Al-Kaaba, tomorrow I want to do something which nobody has done in his life. I want to show you what I will do to Rasulullah. They call him Rasulullah. I'll show you what I will do. Now this was a big news. Quraysh around Al-Kaaba, they sat, they said, okay, let us see what tomorrow Abu Jahl, Abu al-Hakam, Amr ibn Hisham will do it. Tomorrow came. And in the morning, it was like everyone now wants to know what will happen. When they were around Al-Kaaba, Abu Jahl was there and he said, today you will see me. You know, sometimes you have people who say, normally they don't do anything, they say, tomorrow you see me. And they come, tomorrow comes, everyone will wait to see. Okay, let us see what he will do. He came, he took a big stone, and he was waiting for Rasulullah to come. The Holy Prophet came, and he entered, there was this particular area, near Maqam Ibrahim. For those who have gone for Hajj, you know that particular area of Maqam Ibrahim. Maqam Ibrahim is where Prophet Ibrahim used to stand doing the work to Al-Kaaba, building Al-Kaaba. And he used to stand there. Today you have the footsteps of Ibrahim. So Rasulullah went to do his salah there. And this is the particular area he used to pray. While Rasulullah was there and he was going for sujood, Abu Jahl told his friends, today I will crush the head of Muhammad. Today I will crush the skull of Muhammad. I will show you what I will do to him. When Rasulullah started praying, as we know, salah wasn't made as faridah the way we pray at the moment. Salah was two rakats for each salah. And Rasulullah started praying in front of people. And some of these Quraysh, what they used to do, even though they challenged Rasulullah, they would come and listen to the recitation of the Holy Quran of Rasulullah. And Rasulullah had that beautiful voice. He would choose the surahs to read to send a message to Quraysh. And they used to listen to whatever he was reciting. Sometimes he would recite loudly, and sometimes he would recite with silent voice. Now Abu Jahl waited until when Rasulullah was in the state of sujood. While he was in sajda, he came with a big stone. And he wanted really to crush the head of Rasulullah. When he went near Rasulullah, ready to throw the stone on the head of Rasulullah, all of a sudden people saw him coming back and he was running. He changed. He was shaking. And he became pale. They said, Abu al-Hakam, what happened? He said, I have seen something which nobody has seen that before. They said, tell us, what did you see? He said, when I went closer to Muhammad, I saw this camel, stallion camel. The head of the camel is so huge, and the shoulders are so high. The camel was opening the mouth, and it was as if it's coming to swallow me. So I had to run. They said, why? We didn't see that. He said, no, I saw that. But we didn't see Abu Jahl. Oh, Abu al-Hakam, what are you saying? He said, no, don't mess with me. I saw what I'm saying about it. So he said, okay, but why did you run? He said, because the camel was going to eat me. According to another riwayah, it says when Abu Jahl was near Rasulullah, between the Holy Prophet and him, there was this khandaq, trench, and there was fire there. Abu Jahl saw as if he was falling into fire. So he decided to run. When the Holy Prophet was told about this, he said, I knew the plan of Abu Jahl. And I was waiting for him to come. And if he would come closer, then the angels would snatch him. And they would send him to hellfire. Now the question number two, what does the Holy Quran say about this individual? Surah Iqra, Surah Al-Alaq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just in the middle of the surah, what does he say? Have you seen the one, أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يَنْهَى عَبْدًا إِذَا صَلَّى أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يَنْهَى عَبْدًا إِذَا صَلَّى. Have you seen the one who stops the servant of Allah to do salah? أَرَأَيْتَ إِنْ كَانَ عَلَى الْهُدَى أَوْ أَمَرَ بِالتَّقْوَى. Have you considered whether he is doing the issues of taqwa? أَرَأَيْتَ إِنْ كَانَ عَلَى الْهُدَى. Whether he is in guidance, أَوْ أَمَرَ بِالتَّقْوَى, or he orders people to do the issues which are connected to taqwa. This is about Rasulullah. أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يَنْهَى. Is Abu Jahl, have you considered, have you seen him, the one who stops Rasulullah in praying or in performing his salah? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Kalla, la illam yantahi, la nasfa'an bin nasuya. If he doesn't stop to do whatever plans he's planning to attack Rasulullah, would seize him from the hair which is on the forehead. Seizing someone from the hair of forehead. Have you seen, sorry for my expression, have you seen women when they fight and one snatches another one from the forehead? It's so painful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if he would go closer to Rasulullah, the angels would snatch the hair of the forehead. Nasiyatin, kadhibatin, khati'ah. The hairs of that one who is a liar and the one who crosses the limits. As we know, if you read the last ayah of this surah, you will have to go for sujood. We are not going there because of the majlis. Now, as we understand this ayah, or these verses in Surah Al-Alaq, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling about what personality of Abu Jahl was. First of all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says he is kadhab, nasiyatin kadhiba. He calls Rasulullah as kadhab, but he is kadhab. He is the liar. Khati'a, he tells people that Rasulullah, whatever he's doing, is wrong, but he is the one who is wrong. Now Abu Jahl, after this incident, continued to propagate wrong messages against Rasulullah. According to Mufassirin and historians, they said he used to stop even his friends not to listen to the Holy Quran. Why? Because there were a few of his friends. When they sat down to listen to the Holy Quran, Quran would penetrate into their hearts. And then they would come to Abu Jahl. They would say, you are telling us that Rasulullah is a liar, but these words are not normal words. These are the words from a different planet. And then he would say, he is a magician. Don't listen to him. We know that his hatred continued until one day he was sitting with his companions in a place which is known as Darun Nadwa. Darun Nadwa, the house of assembly. In that house of assembly, Abu Jahl came with the plan. They said, Muhammad, we tried all the means, but we have not been succeed to do anything. So what can we do? While they were sitting, historians like Ibn Hisham and others, they said, one old man entered the assembly. And this assembly was a secret assembly. Only few chosen people among the leaders of Quraysh were told to attend. This old man, all of a sudden, they saw him sitting and he was listening to whatever discussion was going on there. And they were planning, what can we do to Muhammad, because we need to finish him and we don't know which way can we say. And then this old man, a stranger, he said, the only way you can do is you need to kill Muhammad, strike him with one blow, and nobody will say who has killed him. So Bani Hashim, especially Bani Abd Manaf, will not go to revenge to anyone who has caused that. Abu Jahl gave this particular suggestion, and that Sheikh listened to whatever he said, and he said, this is exactly what the plan needs to be. Eventually, the Sheikh disappeared. According to Mufassirin, they say that was Shaitan. He came to attend the assembly of Quraysh when they were planning to kill Rasulullah. So Abu Jahl would converse even with Shaitan. According to the Holy Quran, Surah Al-Mujadila, Surah number 58 in the Holy Quran. This surah is very important. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in ayah number 7 and ayah number 10, he discusses about this secret assembly which happened. It says in the middle of ayah number 7, مَا يَكُونُ مِن نَجْوَى ثَلَاثَةٍ إِلَّا هُوَ رَابِعُهُمْ وَلَا خَمْسَةٍ إِلَّا هُوَ سَادِسُهُمْ وَلَا أَدْنَى وَلَا أَكْثَرَ إِلَّا هُوَ مَعَهُمْ أَيْنَ مَا كَانُوا. There will be no any assembly of three people, but Allah will be their fourth. Nor any assembly of five people, but Allah will be their six. Nor any assembly of few people, or many people, Allah will be with them wherever they are going to be. When they were sitting in Darun Nadwa, the house of assembly, to discuss about the killing of Rasulullah, Abu Jahl said, you know what? Bani Abdi Manaf, if we send someone to kill him, they will revenge. They will kill him too. So this is our plan. Find 40 young people from each clan. Give them swords so that they can go. While Rasulullah is sleeping, they can all hit him at once so they finish him. Abdu Manaf will not be able to do anything. That plan, when they were planning, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says? No any assembly of people will discuss anything except Allah will be with them. Allah got the information. He sent Jibra'il to Rasulullah. Ya Rasulullah, this is the plan. Now the point has come. You need to do hijrah because they are coming to kill you. And the Holy Prophet said, okay, if this is the plan, I will ask Mawla, Amirul Mu'mineen, Ali bin Abi Talib, Salamullahi alayhi. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. To sleep on my bed tonight, because tonight is the night of hijrah. When Imam Amirul Mu'mineen was approached by Rasulullah, come and sleep on my bed. The only question he asked, awataslam, ya Rasulullah. He didn't say how many people are coming, what kind of swords are they carrying, will I be safe, will I be injured? Because you and me would ask many questions. But Amirul Mu'mineen, instead of asking, will I, he said, awa taslam, ya Rasulullah. You, Rasulullah, if I sleep on your bed, will you be saved? Salamullahi alayka ya Abul Hasan. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. And indeed, Imam Amirul Mumin slept on the bed. And according to Mu'arrikhin, they said that was the beautiful sleep which Amirul Mu'mineen slept on the bed of Rasulullah. But truly speaking, we are asking those people who are challenging us sometimes, Amirul Mu'mineen and Rasulullah, this is young, that one is a middle-aged one, in terms of height, in terms of their physique, were they same or what happened there? Imam Amirul Mu'mineen is sleeping on the bed of Rasulullah. The enemies are coming. They want to strike him. But then they say, oh, open this bed sheet. We want to see who is sleeping here. They were ready to kill him. So he was resembling Rasulullah. And it was here we understand, yes, there were issues which Rasulullah said, "La, nobody would do this. Nobody would deliver the message except I, or Ali." Because why? They resemble in many things. And this is not us. This is the rahmah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Abu Jahl, when he came to learn that Rasulullah left Makkah for Medina, he made an announcement. Anyone who will bring Rasulullah, the bounty is 100 camels. Alive or dead. All I want is to see the body of Muhammad here. Whether he's dead or alive, I want to see his body. But the Holy Prophet left and he couldn't do anything. The bounty was not given. Rasulullah entered Medina. Abu Jahl came to learn about the Muslim community in Medina. And he said, we need to do something here. What is that? We need to fight against Muslims in Medina. There was this caravan of Abu Sufyan. Abu Sufyan went to Syria. When he was coming back, someone said his caravan will be snatched away by Muslims. When Abu Jahl and his friends heard this, they said, we need to fight against Muslims. Let's go now to Medina to attack Muhammad. When they were coming, the Holy Prophet had the information and he said to Muslims, we need to meet with them outside the city. Let us not allow them to come to Medina. And that's why they met in that particular area, which is known as Badr. And the battle took place. Abu Jahl went. And many other Quraysh went. Abu Jahl said, how much is the number of Muslims? They were told that 313 or so. He said, no problem, we'll bring more than that. 1,000 people with the camels, the horse and everything. When they went to the Battle of Badr, it was here that Rasulullah came with the plan and with the dua of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they managed to defeat the army of Quraysh. There were two young Muslims by the name Mu'adh. Mu'adh said, I want to see where Abu Jahl is, because this guy has caused trouble to Rasulullah. He was a young Muslim. He went behind Abu Jahl. He fought against him. He was injured, but he caused a lot of injuries to the body of Abu Jahl. Abu Jahl fell on the ground, but he didn't die. The young Muslims thought that Abu Jahl has been killed, so they went to tell Rasulullah, we have killed Abu Jahl. The Holy Prophet, after the battle, he said, okay, I want you to go and search all the bodies. Find me the body of Abu Jahl, because he was an open enemy. The only person who went to search was Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud was that companion of Rasulullah. Very good Muslim. He was a very short Muslim. Very thin. According to some historians, they said many Sahabas, whenever they used to sit with Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, they used to provoke him because of his physique. But he was a jolly man. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud decided to go near the body of Abu Jahl. When he went there, he found him. He's about to die. And he was talking to him. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, oh Abu Jahl, what is happening to you? He said, I want you to send salam to your sahib, to your messenger. Tell him that the person he hated him most, he's about to die. And I want you to tell him, I hated Rasulullah even up to this moment. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, okay, whatever happened between you and Rasulullah, I want to finish you. So he took his sword, ready to finish him. Abu Jahl said, why do you want to use your sword? Take my sword, because mine is more sharper than yours. This is Abu Jahl. When Rasulullah calls him Abu Jahl, it gives us a meaning that he was Abu Jahl truly. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud took the sword, and according to the rules of engagement, he finished him. And then he took his head. He couldn't pull it, he couldn't carry it. He decided to drag it up to Rasulullah. And he was giving the information to Rasulullah. When Rasulullah saw the head of Abu Jahl being dragged, he remembered the ayah when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Nasiyatin kathibatin khati'ah. We will drag him by his forehead. Here in this world, the manifestation of that ayah was seen, that Abdullah ibn Mas'ud is dragging the head of Abu Jahl to Rasulullah. When the Holy Prophet saw him, he said, oh, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, tell me what happened. He said, this one, before he died, I asked him to say a few words, nice words. He didn't want to say anything. The Holy Prophet said, there was Fir'aun at the time of Musa. The Fir'aun of Musa was better than my Fir'aun. This Fir'aun of my time is worse than the Fir'aun of Musa. Why? He said, because Fir'aun at the time of Musa, he said when he was about to drown, Al-ana amantu. Now I have become a believer of the Lord of Musa and Harun. But this Fir'aun wouldn't even try to say that. And he wanted to kill even Rasulullah at the time of his death. So this was the end of Abu Jahl. And Rasulullah and all Muslims were happy to see what had happened. Now, coming back to a few issues from this story, what are we learning? Number one, when the Holy Prophet was doing his sajda, Abu Jahl would not be able to cause any trouble to Rasulullah. Why? Because the Holy Prophet said, the proximity between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in sajda, there is no any qurba, there is no any closeness, any proximity between you and Allah like in the state of sajda. When you are in a state of sajida, you are so closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because arrogant people would never allow their forehead to touch on the ground, because that for them is to show inferiority, and they don't have that complex, so they want to show that they are arrogant and they want not to do sajda. Rasulullah is telling us, brothers, mu'mineen, that when you are in a state of sajda, take your time, because you are closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you are in a state of sajda, even your enemies, they will see you as something, someone special, because it is in a state of sajda, they will show honor to you. But if we understand, and when we are in a state of sajda, masajidu sab'a, the ones which you and me, in our death, when they wash our bodies, and before they put the kafan, or when they put half kafan in our bodies, they cover us with shroud, they will take that turba, which is mixed with kafur, and they will apply that on our seven parts of our bodies. Why? Because we have done sajda on that. Forehead, two palms, two knees, and two toes. Seven parts of our bodies. Because why? These will bear witness that, Ya Allah, your servants used to do sajda. A very important lesson. Another lesson which we are learning here is that when you are with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you do sajda for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will never leave you alone. Even if the whole world will come to you to want to attack you, Allah will be with you. They asked Imam Ruhullah, "Oh Imam, when you are in difficulties, what do you do for you to solve your problems?" He said, "When I'm in difficulties, I pray." Say, okay, you pray. When the difficulties are more, what do you do? He says, I pray again. And when they are too much, what do you do? He says, I pray. And then he said, why are you asking me this question again and again? Don't you know the meaning of prayers? That when you are in a state of salah, that you are conversing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you are in a state of sajida, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never forsake you. Salah is very important, and sajida is even more important. What will happen to the ummah if the ummah becomes Abu Jahl? The ummah will do whatever we see now. ISIS, the way they kill people. ISIS, the way they chop the heads of other Muslims, let alone non-Muslims. ISIS, the way they chop the heads and they put the heads on top of each one, and then they take photographs. ISIS, where did you get this way of killing Muslims? Or even non-Muslims, without any problem? They say, well, this is ilm. We tell them that is jahal. Because when you do that kind of jahal, then you show other people that Islam is a religion of killing, chopping, and cutting the heads, which is ignorance. Rasulullah doesn't want us to go that way. But when you look at the heads of all the people who have been killed, then those heads remind us about the head of Karbala. That head, when it was chopped, every individual who is a mu'min felt a pain even up to today. Wallah, when you look at these heads of innocent people who are targeted by ISIS, then this reminds you about how jahal, how ignorant people are in the parts of the world. And this jahal, this ignorance doesn't continue now only. It started at that time when Umar bin Sa'd al-La'in said, "Oh soldiers, who among you will bring me the head of Aba Abdullah?" And when nobody wanted to go near him, that Shimr al-La'in, when he came closer to the body of Aba Abdullah, and Aba Abdullah was talking to him, Imam Hussein alayhi salam talking to him, asking the people who were there, "Don't you know who am I?" They said, "Yes, we know you are son of Ali bin Abi Talib." "Don't you know that I am the grandson of Rasulullah?" They would say, "Yes, we know." "Why are you fighting against me?" They would say, "It's because we hate your father." "How can you hate Amirul Mu'mineen?" And then it is here, this Shimril La'in, La'inullah be upon him. He sits on the chest of Aba Abdullah. He grabs the beard of Aba Abdullah. He places the dagger on the neck of Aba Abdullah. Then he started cutting the neck of Aba Abdullah. Sayyida Zainab Salamullahi Alayha, standing in that particular area of Talla Zainabiyya. She looks on the ground in that area of Katlega. He looks at Shimr, grabbing the beard of Aba Abdullah, placing the dagger, cutting the neck, holy neck of Aba Abdullah, the neck which Rasulullah used to kiss, the neck which Fatima al-Zahra used to kiss, the neck which Imam Amirul Mu'minin used to kiss, and then he placed the dagger. According to Mu'arrikhin, he cuts the neck of Aba Abdullah 12 times. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, until he separated it from the body. Wala hawla wala quwwata illa billah. This is the jahal which we need to inform the people who want to follow, whoever follows the footsteps of Ibn Muljim and the steps of those Shimr and the people who are against Aba Abdullah, that if you don't go the way of Amirul Mu'mineen, which is the way of ilm, and you leave it, you will go the way which is not the way of Mu'mineen, the way of Jahl. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from Jahl. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase us in knowledge. Ya Allah, we ask you to increase the love of Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad in our hearts. Ya Allah, we ask you to bless this gathering. Ya Allah, we ask you to honor and to reward the organizers of these majalis. Ya Allah, we ask you to have mercy on all our marhumin. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin. And those who are not feeling well, ya Allah, cure them bi shafa'at Imam Sajjad alayhi salam. Wa rahim Allah man qara al-Fatiha qablaha as-salat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali.